Let me bid everyone a warm welcome this evening to our Wednesday night midweek meeting, Bible study, prayer meeting. We pray that God will bless us tonight. And for those watching online, we pray that God will bless you and give you help as you listen to the Word of God. We'll just unite together in prayer, and then we'll get straight into the message tonight. And then, God willing, have our time of prayer after. But we'll look to God now and still our hearts at the throne of heavenly grace. Our Heavenly Father and Eternal God, we thank the Lord for this occasion when we can assemble under the sound of the Word of God. Father, we thank Thee for the reading of Thy Word. We rejoice, O God, for the truth of Thy precious Word. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We pray, O God, this night that Thou wilt just cleanse us from our sin. Lord, fill us with the Holy Ghost and of power. And Lord, we pray Thou wilt come and revive our hearts. We confess, O God, we need Thee. Lord, without Thee we can do nothing. And therefore, Lord, we pray, O God, for cleansing in the precious blood. We pray, O God, tonight that all is said, all is done, may it be for Thine honour, for Thy glory. We rejoice, Lord, we worship a glorious Saviour, a risen Saviour, one who loved us and gave Himself for us, one who rose again and entered into heaven on our behalf. And Father, we thank Thee just now. He is seated at Thy very throne, whoever lives, to make intercession for us. And, O God, we look forward to the day when the Saviour will return in all His glory, and we shall be forever with Him. But, O God, until that time, help us, Lord, to live in the joy of the Lord and to proclaim His wonderful salvation. Lord, we confess tonight that there are those who need Thee in the congregation, and we pray, O God, Thou wilt draw near and that Thou wilt give help. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I'm just going to turn this on. Okay, so we've got the technical difficulty sorted out there, so sorry, I apologize for that for those watching online. If you can turn with me, please, in God's Word to Psalm 36. Psalm 36, it is our series in the doctrine of God. We come tonight to the loving kindness of God, and we pray the Lord will give us help tonight as we seek to minister His own precious Word. Psalm number 36, it is to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. The Word of God says, "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, that there is no fear of God before their eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down, and shall not be able to rise." Amen. We know the Lord will add His blessing to the reading of His Word. Really, there's some parts in this psalm that we want to think of tonight, but maybe particularly we will build our thoughts around verse 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. In Psalm 36, David shows forth natural man as a wicked sinner, but God as a great Savior. David is surrounded by the wickedness of ungodly sinners as he expresses the natural heart and state of man. Notice verse 1, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, there is no fear of God before his eyes. You see, man by his very nature is a sinner, and therefore his practices, his pursuits, his desires will also be sinful. As verse 4, 2-4 teach, he setteth himself in a way that is not good. All who are born without God will live without God and will follow and walk in a way that is not good. And they'll continue in that path that is not good unless they are saved by grace, redeemed by precious blood. Furthermore, in this psalm, there seems to be someone that David has in view, though not named. But this person seems to be troubling David. We learn that again from verses 2 through verse 4. However, during such times of ungodliness, David turns his focus upon his God and reflects upon the perfections, the attributes, the nature of his God. David's thought is of God's mercy, God's faithfulness, his righteousness, and his judgments. And in these, he finds comfort and encourages himself in the Lord his God. David seeing God's attributes as exercised on behalf of his people for their benefit and for their deliverance in a time of need. And while David pondered many of God's perfections, his attributes, those characteristics that we have mentioned already, there's one in particular that David seemed to focus upon that we want to look at tonight, and that is the loving kindness of God. It's very clear that David took comfort in this truth, and it became a very good and great encouragement to him in a time when he was experiencing a trial. We may say, like the psalmist in Psalm 138, verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. And so as David thought about the attributes of his God, we think like David tonight on one of those, which is the loving kindness of God. And we want to think of tonight what that simply means, the loving kindness of God. Notice three simple thoughts tonight on the loving kindness of God. The loving kindness of God is precious. David said in verse 7, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. The word excellent is the word meaning precious. And so we could read the words this way, how precious is thy loving kindness, O God. David, in reflecting upon the attribute of God's loving kindness, viewed it as a most precious attribute. It encouraged him. It thrilled his soul. And this is the sense of this word. Excellent, precious is the loving kindness of God. It refers to someone or something that is precious, of great value, of great treasure. And obviously in this case, it's referring to the Lord himself, the one whose loving kindness is precious, is great, is excellent on to David. And seeking to understand how precious God's loving kindness is, we must then see how this word is used in Scripture. And we look at some different ways how this word loving kindness is used, as it has a variety of different meanings in our Bible, how it's translated even throughout the scripture, but we look just at a few of them tonight as we think about God's loving kindness. And his loving kindness is precious. What is precious? Why is the loving kindness excellent, precious? Well, notice the word loving kindness translates as the word mercy. Notice that in verse 5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. And so you could read that verse. Thy loving kindness, O Lord, is in the heavens. And so God's loving kindness, his mercy, is eternal, infinite, and unchanging. The word is also used in reference to Lot in Genesis chapter 19, verse 19. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. Lot was rescued from judgment. He was delivered from the fire of God that fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah for its wicked sin against God. And so in that, there is a picture of God delivering sinners, God delivering his people from judgment. And that's what David points out really in verses 1 to 4. Because no man will seek after God, because no man fears the Lord. And left to themselves, men will continue in their fallen state, will continue in the places of iniquity, unless the Lord draws them out. And obviously Lot was saved, he was justified, but the point is, in that wicked place where he was living, God was going to come down and destroy that city because of its sin. And so he brought Lot out. He spared Lot from that destruction. And again, we have that great picture of God's people who are saved from wrath to come, all by the loving kindness of God. That is precious to us. We will never be in hell. We will never face the wrath of God. We have been delivered from wrath to come. That is precious to God's people. Notice as well, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And the word drawn means to draw out or draw towards. In other words, when the Lord saves sinners, he does so by his loving kindness. He draws them out of their sin and he draws them to himself. Why? Because man has no ability of himself to come to the Lord. Man has no ability of himself to leave his sin, because man loves the pleasures of his sin. No man will depart from his sin of himself, because he has no ability to do so. That's why he is drawn by the Lord. He's drawn out of his sin, away from his sin, and drawn to the Lord in loving kindness. Again, the Lord said in John chapter 6, verse 44, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And so it's God's loving kindness and mercy that draws sinners to himself. And that is precious. Notice also, the word loving kindness translates as the word goodness. Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. And again, it is that word, abundant in goodness, abundant in loving kindness. And so these words were proclaimed by Moses, again, as he had that view of the Lord, the rock of his salvation. And he's seen the goodness, the loving kindness of the Lord. Again, the word loving kindness translates as kindness itself. It's used in 2 Samuel chapter 9, where we have this wonderful passage about the loving kindness of God shown by King David to Mephibosheth. And it's a wonderful chapter, a wonderful passage to read, one of my favorite passages, a real passage that exalts the grace, the sovereignty, the majesty of God in his everlasting covenant. But there was Mephibosheth, and he was the son of Jonathan, the grandson of King Saul. And you'll remember that count where David and Jonathan, they made a promise, they made an oath, they made a covenant that when Jonathan would die and David came to the throne, that 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 15, that thou shalt not cut off kindness from my house forever. In other words, Jonathan said to David that thou wilt not cut off thy kindness, thy loving kindness, thy mercy, thy goodness, thy favor from my house forever. I know my father has been after you, but when Saul's dead, when I'm dead, don't cut off my family. Show kindness to them. Show goodness to them. We learn in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1, after Jonathan had died, after Saul had died, David said, is there yet left any of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness or loving kindness or goodness or favor or mercy? It's all the same word. For Jonathan's sake, or on behalf of Jonathan. Verse 3, that I may show the kindness, the mercy, the goodness of God unto him. And so David learns of a young lad called Mephibosheth, a young boy who is in great need. And David calls for Mephibosheth, and his servants go out. They bring Mephibosheth unto David, and Mephibosheth receives the blessing of the covenant made between him and his father. And David restores to Mephibosheth the land that was lost. And then in verse 11, Mephibosheth is told by David to come to his table and to eat as one of the king's sons. And so he's brought to the king's table to feast on good things. He enjoys a great provision, a bountiful supply. He's invited by the king to fellowship, to sit at his table. And he knows the goodness of David, the kindness of David. Really, he enjoys all the blessings of the covenant. And so there is a wonderful picture there of the grace of God, the loving kindness of God, that due to the everlasting covenant, God the Father entered into a covenant of grace with his beloved Son, that he would bring sinners into fellowship with himself by the power of the Spirit, and sinners would benefit of that everlasting covenant of grace. We would have what was lost in Adam restored. We would be brought to the king's table to feast on good things. We'd be treated as the king's sons and the king's daughters, a child of the king, all by covenant union. Notice also the word loving kindness translates as the word favor. Remember the story of Esther, a Jewish woman who became queen to King Ahasuerus. We learn in Esther chapter 2, verse 17, and the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor. And the word favor is the word loving kindness, mercy, goodness in his sight, more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Queen Vashti. And so here the king accepted Esther and brought her on to himself in marriage union. Esther was a stranger to the king, but she was chosen from out of other women, loved and accepted by the king. She found favor in his sight, loving kindness, goodness in his sight. And so what a picture there is again in the gospel. We were all lost in sin, strangers to the King of heaven. However, among the world of fallen sinners, he chose us on the salvation. He loved his own which were in the world. He accepted us into marriage, union with himself. And we found favor, mercy, goodness in his sight. And so here is the word loving kindness. As David thinks of this word, the loving kindness of God, he says in Psalm 36, how excellent is thy loving kindness. How precious is it? And as we've looked at the meanings of the word loving kindness, how precious it is that we see the favor of God, the goodness of God, the mercy of God toward us sinners, and that he drew us to himself in covenant union. Again, Titus 3, verse 4 to 6. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward all men appeared, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed in us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And so that is, the loving kindness of God is precious. But notice secondly, in Psalm 36, the loving kindness of God is protective. Because again, verse 7, how excellent, how precious is thy loving kindness, or thy mercy, thy favor, thy goodness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. At the very outset, these words are metaphorical. They are imagery. They're taking the natural and visible to teach a spiritual truth. Now, I make that point because while the reference is to God's wings, or under the wings of God, or the shadow, under the shadow of thy wings, God does not have wings. He does not have feathers or any bodily form. That means God has no hands, no eyes, no feet, or any other features. These features are given in the Bible to help our understanding and to teach us spiritual truth about who God is and how God works. For instance, we learn about hands. They speak of work. We think of power, of strength, and of might. To help us understand of God's power, we learn of his mighty works in Scripture. God doesn't have eyes, but in the Bible, when it speaks of the eyes of God, it refers to watchfulness. The Lord watches over his people. And so, as we studied the spirituality of God, we notice those thoughts. We went through all those things when we talk about the eyes of God. He sees us, the hands of God. That means the workings of God, the armor of God, means the power of God. All these different things to teach us about God. He sees everything we do. But also as well, we learn in John chapter 4, verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Therefore, as a spirit, God does not have a body. He is absolute spirit without body and without that physical form. But since the Lord does not have wings, he doesn't have feathers, then it's used as imagery to speak of his protection. As we said, the eyes, when it speaks of his eyes, it's he sees all, his hands, the works of God, arms, the power of God. But now we come to the wings. It's symbolic of the protection of the Lord. In other words, under the shadow of his wings is where sinners find refuge. They find him as the God of their salvation. Again, this is the image used by the psalmist to speak about protection, safety from the wrath of God that's only found in Jesus Christ. The word trust in verse 7 is that word meaning refuge, or to seek a refuge, to depend upon, to lean upon, to put confidence in. And therefore, David, in this challenging time, puts all his confidence, his trust in God as his refuge. He comes under the shadow of his wings, under the protection of the Lord. Again, Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge, our protection, our dwelling place, our shelter. The same expression and the same meaning was used by Boaz in reference to Ruth's salvation. Wonderful passage in Ruth chapter 2, verse 12. Notice what Boaz said to Ruth. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. Now notice this. Under whose wings thou art come to trust. And again, it's imagery. Boaz says to Ruth, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And so notice, as we take this imagery, the imagery of the word wings is often translated in the New Testament, or to give the meaning in the Old Testament, of the idea to cover over. Again, you think of the wings of a chick with her hen, or the hen with her chicks. What does she do with the wings? She puts the wings over, or protects her chicks and covers over them to protect them. And so that's the idea, to cover over. So when it talks about under the shadow of thy wings, it's talking about finding in God a refuge. He covers over his people. He protects his people. And so Boaz says to Ruth, under whose wings thou art come to trust. You've now come and trust in the Savior. You're under his protection. He puts his arms, his wings, his protection. He surrounds you by his presence. Again, the Hebrew word for wings is used in Ruth chapter 3, verse 1, as the word skirt. And again, remember, this word wings has the idea to cover over. Well, what does a skirt do? Or a garment? It covers over. Notice Ruth chapter 3, verse 1. I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Therefore, spread thy skirt, or thy wings, over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And so Ruth's words to Boaz, thou art a near kinsman, means a kinsman redeemer. And the kinsman had the right to purchase all the property and possessions of another, to deliver them from poverty and from bondage. And so Boaz, as the kinsman redeemer, had the right, the power, to intervene in Ruth's life, deliver her, purchase her, take her to be his wife in marriage union, and to bless her and look after the well-being of her life. And so we learn those words. It says, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt, thy wings. In other words, cover me. Take me under your wing, under your protection, under your love. Because that's what Boaz did. He brought Ruth onto himself, under his protection. You read the book of Ruth, and there's no one else who could do for Ruth what she needed. Only Boaz. He could provide for her. He could protect her. He was the mighty man of wealth. He had all the possessions, all the entitlement. He was the kinsman redeemer. Again, we learn the word for wings, the word for skirt, as it means the idea to cover over, to come under. It's also from the Hebrew word atonement, which also means to cover over. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. It is the blood that makes atonement for the soul, or the blood that makes a covering for the soul. It is the life, in Jesus' blood that covers over our sin. There's life-giving blood in Jesus Christ. Just as the wings cover over the chicks, or a skirt covers over a person, so the blood of Christ covers over the sinner's guilt and the burden of sin, making it invisible to the eyes of God. And so the whole point is this: God's loving kindness provided a refuge for David, to protect him, to shelter him, to secure him. And he found that protection as he trusted, as he rested in the Lord. And therefore, child of God, the Lord is your defense, your protection. You hide under the shadow of his wings, in a sense, under his protection. He brought you on to himself, and he covers you by his precious blood. He covers you by his protection. He surrounds you, just as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds or is about his people. Every and any sinner, as Ruth, as David, knowing their need of Christ and hearing the gospel and putting their trust in God, put their trust under the shadow of his wings. To hide anywhere else, to put trust in anywhere else, is to be uncovered, unprotected. And therefore, child of God, the Lord is the rock of our salvation. He is our hiding place. As the psalmist said in Psalm 57, verse 1, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee. Yea," again, "in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." And so just as David is in this time of trouble, this perplexing time, and a lot of things happening in this Psalm 36, and he thinks of the loving kindness of God, that kindness that is his God's favor, God's goodness, God's mercy. And he says, "How excellent is thy loving kindness. How precious it is to me." He then sees God's loving kindness as his protection, because "I will trust in your loving kindness. I will trust under the shadow of thy wings. You will protect me, defend me, shelter me." And therefore, child of God, in this new year, God protects his people. God watches over his people. God has us under the shadow of his wings. And whenever there's trouble, hide in him, run to him. Whenever there's a difficulty, come to him, trust in him. Because his loving kindness is protective. There's mercy, there's grace, there's goodness, there's favor for the people of God that we find in him. Notice finally, and very, very briefly, we've looked at the loving kindness of God is precious. We've looked at the loving kindness of God is protective. But notice the loving kindness of God is perpetual. Again, verse 7 of Psalm 36. "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." God's loving kindness is as himself, eternal, infinite, and unchanging. Therefore, notice verse 10. "O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart." The word "continue" means to draw out at length, giving the idea that God's attribute, as in all his attributes, but we're thinking of this one, loving kindness, never fails. God's goodness, God's mercy, God's favor towards you, child of God, his loving kindness will never fail, because you trust in him. You lean under and dwell under the shadow of his wings. He protects you. Therefore, he will never fail you. Psalm 40, verse 11. "O Lord, Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me, continually uphold me. That's what upheld David. He thought about the loving kindness of God, his favor, his mercy, his goodness. And he said, let it continue. And therefore, in this new year, take encouragement. God's loving kindness toward you, believer, will never fail. His loving kindness will be continually for you, to uphold you, to strengthen you, to preserve you throughout this year. I don't know what we will face this year, challenges. But I do know this, God's loving kindness will never fail us. There'll be mercy for you. There'll be grace for you. There'll be goodness toward you. He will never fail because he is our God, and we trust under the shadow of his wings. Psalm 25, verse 6. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Therefore, what a mighty God we serve. David, in this Psalm 36, as he goes through this challenging time, he thinks about the sinfulness of man, yet his mind is drawn to think of the greatness of his God. And as he thinks of all the attributes of his God, he centers here upon the loving kindness of God and says in verse 7, how excellent, how precious is thy loving kindness, O God, thy mercy, thy favor, thy goodness. O God, therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Oh, I trust that we will know much of the loving kindness of God. And whatever difficulty we have, whatever trial, whatever trouble, or like David, you think about the wickedness of man and his rebellion and his ungodliness. Lift your mind back upon your God, upon your Savior. Don't dwell on the sinfulness of man. Dwell on the goodness of your God, the loving kindness of your God, and learn all that God is for his people. May the Lord write his word upon our heart for his name's sake. Amen.